very good evening. You're welcome along to this evening's edition of The Score as we look ahead to another busy weekend of sporting action, which includes, of course, the opening round of fixtures in the new League of Ireland season. Games in both the Premier and First Divisions, with Derry City kicking off away to St Pat's and Finn Harps beginning life back in Division 1 at home to Galway United. More on that to come. The Allianz National Football League is back this weekend after having last weekend off. Martin McHugh will join us later in the programme to offer his thoughts on some of the big games in round 3 of the league. And there will be more besides, so hopefully you can stay with us through until 8 o'clock. Well, we'll begin this evening with our preview of the new League of Ireland season, which kicks off tomorrow evening. And I'm joined on the programme by two former Finn Harps favourites, Anthony Gorman, who's here in studio, and Gavin Cullen, who hopefully will be joining us via Zoom, along with Derry Journal sports reporter Kevin McLaughlin. Anthony, first of all, you're very welcome. For Harps and Derry City, contrasting fortunes last season and the expectations of both sets of supporters, I would imagine, so different as we look ahead to a new campaign.
Yeah, well, obviously, with Derry City, they're going to be so optimistic with after the result they had last weekend with the President's Cup victory against Shamrock Rovers. And Derry have done a good bit of business this winter as well, where, you know, they've taken in quite a few players. Colin Whelan's come in from UCD. The much sought after Adam O'Reilly from Preston, who was on loan at Pats last year, and obviously I suppose the best one of the lads, Ben Doherty, returning to the Brandywell from Larne after having a very successful 4 or 5 seasons in the Irish League with Coleraine and Glenavon as well. In contrast to that, Dermot, Finn Harps going into the season, you know, after the disappointment of getting relegated last year, and the change in manager with Ollie leaving and taking up a position at Galway United, and Dave Rogers coming in, and it's a new era for Finn Harps, and it's a change in the way that they're approaching their business in the season. You know, they've gone very public in the way that they're going about it, and you know, given Dave Rogers and Darren Murphy 4-year contracts, and they've shown a big commitment there. And giving players 2-year contracts as opposed to the way it had been going the last number of years with players coming in and on basically playing for the season. I think the pleasing thing from Finn Harps as well is they've been very transparent in their communication over the winter. Listen to Ian Harkin. He's spoken very well about his plans and the vision that the people within the football club have. And hence, that's why Dave Rogers, they've shown a lot of commitment to Dave. And you look at what Dave has said, you know, all his press conferences and all his interviews, you know, it's all about, playing the front foot, packing the park, and, playing with passion and commitment and high energy. And, he's getting that across to the public, and, it's an exciting era for supporters as well. You know, it's, I suppose as well, Jeremy, from a local point of view, it's disappointing that players like, Conor Tourish didn't re-sign, Barry McNamee, but in saying that, you've had Keith Cowan returning, which I think is a massive help to the club. Ryan Rainey committing his future to the club as well, who arguably has been one of Finn Harps' top performers over the last couple of years. So it'll be interesting to see how it goes, but it'll be very, very challenging for Finn Harps.
Yeah, and it all starts tomorrow evening against Galway United. Gavin Cullen and Kevin McLaughlin are with us as well via Zoom. Guys, it's good to have you on board this evening. Gavin, we'll start with yourself, and Anthony's talking about the new regime at Finn Park. This evening, confirmation from Harps, another new addition to the squad, former Cabinteely striker Kane Lynch, the latest signing. An entirely new squad at Finn Park then ahead of the new campaign. Gavin, what's your take on events there so far?
Probably something similar to Anthony in terms of, like, all the right messages are coming out of Finn Park from the management team, from the club, and about building for the future and playing football the right way and all the rest. And it is exciting, and it's probably a breath of fresh air to a point, by talking like that. But you also have to, I suppose, bring it to the pitch. And that's going to take time with, obviously, a full new squad. The only players we're really familiar with, I suppose, is Ryan Rainey and Keith Cowan. The rest are totally unknown at this level. and in Ireland. So, look, it's very hard to be what's realistic about expectations this season or over the first few months itself. But obviously, it's League of Ireland football, and it's a results business as well. So it's hugely important to get results early, because as the season progresses, like, fans want the best for their team and for their club, and they want to be challenging. And it's going to be a difficult league for them, for sure. And as I say, hopefully they hit the ground running, with obviously a difficult task on Friday night. But hopefully all these positive vibes and messages and that are coming out come to fruition, because it'll be great for all of us if that's the case.
Yeah, and he's had a chance to have a look at some of his new players in pre-season. They played the likes of Portadown, Derry, Sligo Rovers last weekend. I think they kicked off against Dundalk in their first pre-season friendly. That's a good few weeks ago now. I'd suggest, Gavin, it'll take them a wee while, Nick Rogers, maybe a few weeks before he discovers what his starting 11 will be.
Oh, there's no doubt. Look, most teams in the league are probably going to be like that, if you're being honest. There's very few clubs in the Premier or the First Division could start in the first game of the season and say, look, this is my best 11 or this is my best 12, 13 players. It doesn't work like that. But obviously, with so many unknowns and obviously so many young players coming up from the Ulster Senior League and under 19 squads, it's a huge task. And probably what sticks out, maybe just, and probably Anthony will agree with this, is maybe the lack of experience. And that's where the likes of Keith are going to have huge roles in this one, this season, is how they react to, you know, some of the tough games and the travel and League of Ireland football in general, because as we all know, it's difficult as well.
Kevin, I meet you over at Harps every other week when Derry City aren't in action, so you're well aware of the importance of the home games at Finn Park as well, and that's going to be a big factor in the new season. But there are a lot of good teams in that First Division, aren't there, again this year? Teams who have been down there in the First Division for a few seasons now and have been trying to get back up. So Harps fans, I'm sure they're not naive enough to think that, you know, their team are going to bounce straight back up without a challenge.
No, exactly. We don't know. First, like, a lot of things being and made about budgets and stuff like that. Look,
sorry, Gavin, go ahead there.
Sorry, no. There's a lot of made on budgets and stuff, and people sort of judge how leagues are going to go and teams are going to go based on how much they spend on players. But that's not all that it boils down to. So, like, obviously the Waterfords, the Galways, the Braes, and Wexford seem to have signed well. Mm. You know, they'd be looking at maybe the top four. Harps, we don't know. They could challenge. They could be mid table. They could be struggling. We really don't know. If I was looking at it from my perspective, what I see, like, I think a run to the lower half of the playoffs would be almost success at this point. But who's to judge? We just have, it's very difficult. Like, but obviously Galway and Waterford are the front runners on paper at this point in the season, you know.
Kevin, I'm hoping you can come in there. I know you're on Zoom. Kerry FC, a new addition to the league this season, a positive move by the league to have them involved?
Look, it is. You know, the sort of getting out of Dublin is what ourselves up here in Derry and Donegal would always be saying. So another team in another area, that's what you want. Not good from Funhar's point of view, that it'll be adding to their travels. And we're just hearing Gavin and Tony there just talking about the travels that they're going to have this year. It's going to be very tough. Just travels for Harps this year, and that's the big concern for me. I agree with the lads too. There's so many young players and players we sort of don't know what they're going to be like. It's senior football is going to be a big ask for Harps, but hopefully, as I said, you said earlier, Finn Park's going to be a big thing for them this year, and they can get off to a good start with a home record.
Yeah, and you know who's going to be in the visiting dugout tomorrow evening as well, but none other than Ollie. It's another factor to what promises to be a great night in Balbuffet tomorrow night.
I would agree, yeah. You have Ollie back there, you have John Caulfield, who's been there, done that with obviously Cork, and now he's hit the bar the last couple of years with Galway in the playoff to try and get up. This is a big year for Ollie and John, particularly John, to get Galway up. So they're going to be looking to come up to Harps and first match of the season, a packed out Bally Buffet. If they can get a positive result, from their point of view, they'll be delighted. But they'll also know, and all of them well wired off, how much it's going to be tough for them first match of the season up at Bally Buffet.
Okay, Anthony, you mentioned earlier on there as well about the fact that they're, well, Ryan Rainey is really the only player who featured regularly last season to be back on board this year. I suppose that makes the signing of Keith Cowan even, you know, more important whenever you're sitting in a dressing room and looking around you and there's all these strange faces. Important to have some local faces there too.
Yeah, I mean, Keith, I obviously had Keith at Dungannon with me there for 6 months before he went to Drogheda. And what he brings to the dressing room, not only what he brings onto the park, Jeremy, but what he brings to the dressing room, like we're something similar, I suppose, to Finn Harps. We have so many young lads coming in. And so Keith's experience, his ability to talk young lads through games, his ability to organise is vital for Dave Rogers. And like you mentioned Ryan Rainey there as well. And Ryan now has had a couple of years behind him in League of Ireland. And, you know, that experience is vital. But we look at, say, the profile of the player that Dave Rogers has gone after. And it's, you know, it's enthusiastic people. Like, you know, when he's talked about players that, you know, weren't going to re-sign, the likes of Barry McNamee and Conor Tourish and, you know, Ryan Connolly and that, you know, Dave was very positive in the fact that he only wanted people about the club that wanted to, that were committed to it and wanted to play and, you know, didn't have any doubts about coming to the club. And, you know, I've looked at a lot of the players that have come in and, you know, the interviews they've done, and the big thing coming out about them is, you know, the passion that the manager has shown, the professionalism he's shown, the right player environment that he wants to create. You know, so that's a big attraction for the players that Dave has signed. But you're so right, Jeremy, in the fact that, you know, the local players, especially the local experienced players, are going to be a huge miss to Finn Harps this season.
Indeed they are. Gavin, just on some of those new signings, I'm not suggesting by any manner of means that you'll know all these guys, but I'm sure there are a few familiar faces there for you. Seamus Keogh, we've watched him in action with Sligo Rovers. Michael Harris, a good player, a good addition. Damien Duffy back on board again. Shane McMonagall, younger brother of Thomas, I'm sure you know him. And then there's a couple of lads that have come in from Derry, Kevin Porter and Dahi McCallion. I think both are joining on loan.
Even joining alone, they were playing with the Ulster Senior League squad at Derry. Yeah, two good players, two very promising players. Dahi's a young lad, young centre half with, look, I suppose, an old head on his shoulders. He talks, he's a good communicator, and he's probably chomping at the bit to give senior football a go. Obviously, with Derry at the minute, the way they are, he would be struggling to get in there. So a loan move to, like, say, a Harps or an Institute or something, probably with the timing is right for him. Again, how he adapts, I don't know. Kevin Porter, very good player, technically very good and will play. And he'll do very well there. then there's quite a few then. Actually, we played Harps at the weekend in the league, and the five or six of them played against us, the likes of Kevin Jordan, Damien Duffy, Brendan McLaughlin, Sean O'Donnell, Sean O'Bradley, and all them lads played. All promising young players. They look hungry, they look fit. Obviously, in training and being about the first team environment is helping them. You know, so again, it's opportunities that maybe some of them young lads mightn't have thought was going to happen so quick. So hopefully for them, though, they grab it with two arms and give it a real go, you know, cause once they're getting this opportunity at the start of this new season.
Okay, then. Well, we've got a break to take. That Harps Galway game marks the first game of the new campaign for Dave Rogers' side. That's an 8 o'clock start tomorrow night in Bally Buffet. And we'll look at all things Premier Division and Derry City after this break.
Sport on Highland is brought to you by Michael Murphy Sports and Leisure. Beat your personal best with new trainers from Asics, Brooks and New Balance, or gear up for the gym with activewear from Under Armour and Adidas.
You're welcome back. We're looking ahead to the first weekend in the new League of Ireland season with Gavin Cullen Anthony Gorman and Kevin McLaughlin. Kevin, Derry City then, they've warmed up for their first game in the ideal way with a win over Shamrock Rovers in the President's Cup, and perhaps significantly, they played really well, didn't they?
They did, to be fair, and while Rovers, to be fair, brought on three or four of the who's who of League of Ireland football, Derry City sort of similar, didn't have quite their full strength squad. As Gavin said earlier, you know, any manager at this time of the year doesn't know his best 11, let alone his best 15, and Derry's certainly like that. But they, look, they got off the perfect start, beating Rovers at home. It was a packed house. They played well at a high-tempo game. And it's ideal for going down now to what's going to be a massive game down at St. Pat's, who are also going to feel like they should be up there challenging them, rightly so.
Yeah, and again, new faces on board, you know, at Derry. Adam O'Reilly, Anthony mentioned him at the outset, probably one of the big signings of the entire League of Ireland this season, and he's going to have a big part to play. Ben Doherty can offer you so many options down the left-hand side. I think Colin Whelan's still coming back from injury, so we might not see him, but a good addition as well, Kevin.
He is. Obviously, the first division, he scored a lot of goals for UCD, and then he got quite a few too when he came up, and then he'd done the cruciate, obviously, injury at Fun Park before the season came to an end last year. There was a lot of interest from English clubs and whatever, and Shamrock Rovers were after him. But I agree with Anthony chatting about O'Reilly. Obviously, last year, done really well at St. Pat's. And just in the pre-season friendlies, he's looked the part. He played up at Carrick, and as Anthony would well know what Taylor's Avenue was like that night, it was very heavy, but good for a pre-season workout for players to get on their legs. And in the President's Cup game, he was very good. He was my man of the match that night. So he's going to be a big player. But you then have the likes of Patrick Magdalena to come back in, missed the last few, just picking up wee bit of an ankle and injury, and they sort of put him in cotton wool. They're missing Diallo for tomorrow night, so that's a bit of a blow. But look, as I say, you still got Dummigan to come back in. And Ben Doherty, as you said earlier, gives so many options. Played left back last week. Was really good going forward, giving them Michael Duffy that space. He can also play in midfield. He can play high in the left. There's so many options Ben gives you. And a lot of Derry fans were pleasantly surprised because they hadn't seen Ben since he'd left as a youngster. And then went. Anybody sort of followed Irish would know how well he had done since he'd left Derry. So that's a very clever sign, I think, by Rory Higgins getting him in.
Yeah, indeed. Anthony, I think the feeling is that Derry City are more than capable of mounting a challenge to Shamrock Rovers, who are, what, they're going in search of a fourth title in a row, aren't they? But I was looking back at last year's stats. Derry, you know, were thereabouts for so much of the season, but ended up 13 points adrift of Shamrock Rovers at the finish, and actually only finished in second on goal difference ahead of Dundalk.
Derry had a brilliant start last season, German, I think if I'm right in saying that they maybe won four or five in a row, and then they lost unexpectedly to Shelburne at the Brandywell, and they went on a wee bit of a dip in form at that time. So Derry, you know, they're a year older. Rory's had, that was his first full season with them. The players that he's brought in will certainly strengthen the team. You know, they've lost a few players as well, like some of the younger lads, like Brendan Barr, who was on loan in the Irish League, has gone to UCD, and young Evan McLaughlin's come back from Coleraine as well, who he gives an option as well, a really talented young player. But I think what you've got to admire about Derry City is that, you know, we all know that they've got money behind them now as well, but they haven't gone out and spent foolishly. You know, Rory, he's built this team slowly. You know, you look at the team last year, and you're right, they did finish 13 points behind Rovers, but they did make it an interesting title challenge for a long part of the season. I think the players that they have added, and we've spoke about them already, they will certainly add to that. And I think, say, for example, the likes of Ben Doherty coming in, Ben gives different options in terms of formations that you want to play. If you want to play with wing-backs, or like Ben, and as Kevin said, Ben can play left-back, wing-back, wide, midfield. He's so versatile. And, you know, it's a big season now for Derry City, because I think the settling in period is well and truly over for now for Rory, and he will be expected to close the gap on Rovers. You know, and they have taken it to a different level, Shamrock Rovers, over the last number of years, and the way that they've you know, they've qualified for Europe, they've competed in Europe, and they've been a real credit to the league. And Stephen Bradley deserves an awful lot of credit as well, because somebody who was criticised an awful lot in his early reign at Shamrock Rovers, and none more so than by his own supporters. But he's truly won them over now with the leagues that he's won over the last number of years, and they're certainly the team to catch.
Yeah, and on that, Gavin Cullen, Shamrock Rovers, again, quite a few changes within their squad this year. Liam Burt has joined them, Trevor Clark, an important addition. Johnny Kenny, the former Sligo Rovers player who was over with Celtic, he's on loan, isn't he? Still only 19, big future ahead of him. Are Shamrock Rovers actually stronger than they were last year?
Possible, yeah. They've a phenomenal squad, as Kevin said at the start. No, they've a who's who of League of Ireland big name players in their squad, but they've also been right up there, and they'll obviously be one eye in the Champions League this year as well. They give that a good go. So, look, all in all, I do think it's between themselves and Derry. I really, really like the look of Derry's squad at the minute. So dynamic and such balance and so many options, and it seems such energy levels coming off the back of the cup final and the feel good factor that they've had and how well they played in that cup final. I really think there's a massive opportunity this year for Derry, and for me, possibly our favourites. But look, it's a big ask. The Shamrock Rovers squad is frighteningly good, frighteningly strong. But in saying that, I think Derry are on a real upward curve at the minute. So it's a real, real exciting season this season, so it is.
Yeah, okay. Well, listen, time has almost beaten us on this discussion. We could talk the League of Ireland all evening. There are so many stories as well in that Premier Division, isn't there? The return of Cork City to the top division. Bowes, who'll be playing under Declan Devine this year. How are they going to do? What about Dundalk and St. Pat's? And Anthony, I mean, we need to speak about Sligo Rovers as well before we finish up. Aidan Keena, such an influential and important part of their setup last year. He has left. He has signed for Cheltenham. They've brought in a Faroe Islands international. Shane Blaney has gone to Motherwell. Lewis Banks has gone to Arbroath. So again, chopping and changing there, but another big season, and I'm sure plenty of expectations at the showgrounds.
Yeah, Sligo have done really well over the last number of years, Dermot. You know, they had a European qualification and they finished fifth last year. They always seem to start the season off really well. But some of the players you mentioned there, like Aidan Keena and Shane Blaney, especially, were two big, big players for them. Shane had a brilliant couple of seasons at Sligo and really marshalled their back four. And, you know, he's away to Motherwell now. And Aidan Keena, who's the top scorer, it's very difficult in the League of Ireland, and I suppose no different than any other league, where scoring goals is the most difficult thing. And in Aidan Keena, that Sligo had one of the best in the league, and that's going to be very difficult to replace. But you spoke about Bowes as well. They're going to definitely be stronger now under Declan Devine, like Akintunde signed from Derry, and you know, Dylan Connolly, and they're returning Keith Buckley, who took a year out from travelling as well. You know, Bowes finished sixth, so that's more pressure on Sligo to finish, you know, their fifth place finish. So it's going to be a very difficult season for Sligo and a lot of the other teams in it.
Okay, Anthony, thanks for that. And thanks to Gavin Cullen and Kevin McLaughlin as well. No doubt we'll see us at different venues as the new season gets up and running. Harps, by the way, kick off against Galway United tomorrow night, 8 o'clock. Derry City are at St. Pat's, a 7:45 start. Sligo, they are in action on Saturday night. Big game at the showgrounds as well. A 7:45 start as Sligo Rovers host Shamrock Rovers. We're going to go for another quick break.
Sport on Highland is brought to you by Michael Murphy Sports and Leisure. You'll find everything you need to stay motivated this year, in-store and online, with free next-day delivery on orders over €85 at michaelmurphysports.ie.
And you're welcome back. Martin McHugh will be joining us on the programme in a couple of minutes' time to talk GAA, but we're going to stick with football for the time being. And ATU Donegal are through to this season's CUFL Colleges Premier Division Final. That's after they defeated Cork by 3-2 on Tuesday to advance to the decider, which is against Carlow. And Shane Byrne is the manager of ATU Donegal. Shane, you're welcome along to the programme, first of all. Good victory on Tuesday. An excellent win in the end. Now, 3-0 up at one stage. It actually ended 3-2. So credit to MTU Cork, Shane. They certainly didn't make life easy.
They didn't, Jim. We played really well for about an hour in that game. And, you know, to be fair, we let Cork back into it. Being honest, we played really well, as I say, for an hour, scored 3 goals, and then a bit of complacency came into our play. And that happens in games times, you know, but we'll have to ratify that before we get to the final.
Yeah, indeed. And the final is going to be against Carlow. Shane, a good side, aren't they? It's a repeat of a previous final, which unfortunately went the way of them.
We did. We met Carlow. For Carlow, always a good side. I think the time we played them, they were wanting to be 7 or 8 on a trot, you know. So they have a good pedigree in that competition, and it'll be no easy game for us in the final. It'll be a very difficult one, actually. But from our last final, it was a game they scored early on in that game, and we pressed and just actually a Donegal man on this for them, Seamus Houghton.
Yes.
Won the game for them, really, you know.
Yeah. Well, listen, Stephen Black among the goals, he got 2 on Tuesday. Gabby Aduaka got the other goal. Part of another good squad, Shane. You've been in charge of so many teams at it was LYIT before that, and now the ATU Donegal. How does this current squad compare to those other ones?
You know yourself, Jim, it's very hard to compare squad. I mean, last year's squad got us into the Premier Division, and our aim from day one was to stay in the Premier Division, which this present squad, we did that fairly comfortably. We ended up mid-table type of thing, and then we went in a cup run with this squad and in the final of the cup. So all in all, it's been a really good season. With these group of players have done really, really well. Teams in the past, like last year, we had a good save. As I say, they got us promoted and we went to the semi-final of the cup. We've been in 2 cup finals before that. But the step up to the Premier League with these players, they've really worked hard, and it's been a great season for them.
Okay, that's good. And the final is on February the 28th then, so that's another Tuesday fixture. And the final is going to be in Athlone, Shane. So it'll not be too long before it's upon you. A very short turnaround to prepare for what's such a big game.
And that's 2 weeks, the 28th. And a flown, and it's nice as well. I mean, we got to the final now, and it's a good in a way, because we've League Ireland fixtures coming up, and players are under pressure with their clubs, which is totally understandable. And we've only 1 game left in our present season, so it'll free up. You know, I mean, the clubs have been very good to us and letting their players go to these games and that. So there's only 1 game left, and our season then. Our season's finished. We don't play another game until the end of October, the middle of October next year, which is good.
Okay. Well, between now and the final, Shane, we wish you well with you and your team's preparations, and we'll be talking to you before the big match, no doubt. But for now, thanks for joining us this evening.
Thanks very much, Jim.
That's Shane Byrne, the manager of ATU Donegal. Well, there were no games in the Allianz National Football Leagues last weekend, but round 3 matches are scheduled over this coming Saturday and Sunday. And joining me now via Zoom to look ahead to what's another important weekend is our Gaelic Games correspondent, Martin McHugh. Martin, the leagues have served up some interesting games over the opening 2 weekends, but I'd suggest the results are becoming even more important now as we prepare for the third round of fixtures, perhaps none more so than the match in Clonus on Sunday where Monaghan host Donegal.
Yeah, very much so, Jim. It's a very, very big game for both teams, and you know, Donegal, you know, had that good victory over Kerry, which makes it, you know, a big difference, where Monaghan at home have no points going in. Hearing that they target in these 2 next games, which is home to Donegal and home to Roscommon, and they're hoping to have 4 points after that. I just think that you know, when you look at it, I think they have Werner's Conor McManus will at least be on the bench. They have Carol O'Connell back, they've Darren Hughes back fitting that there. So this is the game they're really targeting. The first one is Donegal. So yeah, big game for both teams. You feel that if Donegal can win it, it gives them a great chance, you know, of staying up and maybe going on and even trying to get to a league final.
Yeah, and let's just remind listeners then about the situation in Division 1, Martin. Donegal with one win from their two games, and Monaghan significantly without a win, losing down in Roscommon, and then remind me again then that they lost. Did they lose down in Roscommon? I'm wrong on that, haven't I?
Anyway, Tyrone lost Roscommon, or Monaghan lost down in Kerry.
Yes, and Kerry. So a big game, and Clonus never an easy place to go, Martin. Remember, this is a Monaghan team who beat Donegal actually in Ballybuffet last year too.
Yeah, and they tell you, the Monaghan people tell you, they don't fear Donegal, and they've never feared Donegal. They've more of a fear of Tyrone than they have of Donegal. So I think when you look at it, you know, I mean, their performance down in Kerry was, you know, they had about it's 16 points or something they got in Kerry, so they did all right down there. But that, you know, it's always hard to beat Kerry down there. And the National League people tell you that home's a big advantage to be playing at home. Now, they played their first game, Monaghan, against our man, Castleblaney, and a lot of Monaghan people weren't happy with that. They wanted to play in either in Inniskeen or Clonus. So they feel they have a good record in Clonus. So, yeah, so really looking forward to it. Sunday, there's a lot of pressure on Donegal, but there's a hell more pressure on Monaghan, because you feel if they don't win this match on Sunday, they're in big trouble, and they've been there in Division 1 and they've been staying in Division 1 a long time, and it's a great credit for them for a small county and everything else. So yeah, a big game. It's a very big game, because when we look at it now, Jeremy, the championship, you know, when we go forward to the championship, it's, you know, it's going to be now kind of based, your league performance is going to be very important to your championship seeding and everything else. But if you end up going into the second division, I mean, you're talking about maybe only the top four teams in the second division that will make and play for the Sam Maguire. So it's a very, very important to stay in Division 1.
Indeed it is. Much talk this week as well over the injury worries concerning Paddy McBrearty. Martin, that's a major worry. On the plus side, word is that Donegal played Fermanagh in a challenge game last weekend. Of course, there were no fixtures in the leagues last weekend, so they took advantage of that, played Fermanagh, and we're hearing that Donegal included the likes of Oisin Gallen, Owen Ban Gallagher and Michael Langan in their side.
Yeah, that's great news, Jeremy, to hear that. I think Oisin Gallen played for DCU, came on a sub and kicked 5 points, so looked very, very sharp for DCU in a Sigerson semi-final. So yeah, it's great to see that Oisin's back, and you know, he's a very important player, particularly when, you know, Michael Murphy is retired and now Patrick McBrearty looks like he's going to be out injured as well. It's important to get Oisin Gallen back there. So he adds a fair bit of pace and everything into that inside line. Now, he hasn't a lot of football played and everything else, and neither has probably Owen Ban Gallagher or Michael Langan either, but they're still, you know, pluses to have back. And we talked about Monaghan, they're in the same boat. They're just getting players back as well. But as I said, the 2 points are so important. It's important to have, you know, to have these players back. So, you know, which is good, because the Tyrone performance was one of the poorest performances we've seen in a while from a Donegal team, in the sense of, you know, I don't know, did we even pick up a yellow card or not against them? You know, they sent David Goff down to ref it, considering there's going to be a tough local derby, which is always is. So from that point of view, just disappointing from a Donegal point of view. So, you know, we expect that, you know, we're going to have to be up for it, and we're going to have to match them, you know, for team spirit, for spirit and everything else, particularly, you know, Monaghan, because that's the way they play. They will play on the edge. They will be really up for this, and we need it. We're going to need a good start from a Donegal point of view. I think that will be very important, because when they get ahead of you, they're always hard to break down.
Indeed, and I would imagine there will be a big Donegal support making the journey as well on Sunday, Martin. And the mood among the supporters, I mean, there was such a contrast, wasn't there, from the win over Kerry, when there was such excitement and the fans were on a high after that dramatic win. And then, as you say, the disappointing display in Healy Park against Tyrone.
Yeah, that's it, and that's the way the league goes, you know. But, you know, you always knew that Tyrone were going to do their homework, particularly on the younger lads that had played so well against Kerry and everything else, and you know, you were expecting that. And Tyrone needed a response, because we were beaten in Roscommon the week before. So it was a very important game to Tyrone, playing at home as well, to pick up that 2 points, because there are no easy games in this division. Now they're away to Galway and Mayo, Tyrone. So that's going to be two difficult games now in a row for them and everything else. So I think that, yeah, it was just disappointing. It wasn't the fact of getting beaten, Tyrone. It was just the performance was very disappointing and very poor. And you knew after 10 minutes that Donegal weren't going to win the match. And, you know, that was the disappointing thing about it. So hopefully, though, you know, the game on Sunday is completely different. It's going to be difficult going to Clonus, but we're well used to Clonus as well. And having them players back and everything else is definitely going to help.
Yeah, another new challenge then for Paddy Carr and his Donegal side. A 1:45 start in Clonus, and Martin, you'll be with Oisin Kelly on commentary from that fixture on Sunday. We'll have a look at, ahead to some of the other games in a moment or two, but for now we're going to grab another quick break. And you're welcome back to The Score. Martin McHugh is with me, looking ahead to this weekend's Allianz National Football League fixtures. Martin, the weekend gets underway with games on Saturday. There's a number of interesting games again on Saturday. We'll start with a Division 1 match at McHale Park, Mayo hosting Kerry. Two sides locked in mid-table in Division 1. I know it's very much early stages, but Martin, you know, again, another big game. Mayo still looking for their first win, despite the fact that they haven't lost.
Gee, Jeremy, how tough this division is. You know, we look at it, you know, they could have won both matches and they could have probably lost both of them in the end up. But I think that when you look at it from Mayo's point of view, Ken McStay will be happy enough with the way they started, considering the players that are retired and everything else, and he's taken in a lot of younger lads into it. And he's starting, it seems like, a manager that's getting the best already, or of Aidan O'Shea, which is a big, big player for them, and gives them an option of from kickouts, an option to play in the full forward line, and you know, all them different options, and he really played well the last day. I think the word is that Kerry's coming with a full squad, you know, and they have the Clifford's back and everything else, so that's gonna be a big, big help to, and Sean O'Shea. So looking forward to this game. It'll tell us a lot more about Mayo. It's a home game for Mayo. They normally do well against Kerry, in Castlebar. So you know how the whole thing of Sean O'Shea and Clifford. Sean O'Shea hasn't played a lot of football. I still have a sneaking feeling that maybe just about Mayo could still get over the line, because as you said, they haven't won any matches, but they've been very, very competitive and they've been very good. And I think at this stage they have a lot more work done than Kerry would have, you know, from the start of the year and everything else. So Mayo maybe just might sneak that Dermot in Castlebar.
Okay, a 7:30 start on Saturday night. Then on Sunday, aside from that Monaghan Donegal game, the other two games, again, thrown in at 1:45. Galway against Tyrone, another important fixture. And Roscommon against Armagh. Roscommon, the early league leaders, I know your mark is in there, part of the managerial setup, Martin. A big game, big crowd expected at this one. And if Roscommon were to win this, they'd be sitting pretty.
Yeah, I think that looking at it from a Roscommon point of view, you know, people didn't expect them to get a start like that. They didn't expect them to be fighting for relegation. I mean, so it's a great start for them. I mean, they beat Galway by a point in a low-scoring game, 9-8. They had a great victory over Tyrone after Tyrone going maybe 3 points up at a stage in the second half, and they showed great character to come back. I think there'll be a massive crowd. There's going to be two very, very big crowds this weekend in Castlebar on Saturday, and then on Sunday there'll be a big, big crowd. Even trouble the old people probably will head over as well to go to Dr. Hyde Park to watch this, and an Armagh take big support. So looking forward to it. I mean, we look at it that Armagh 3 points, Roscommon at 4. It's a big game. It'll tell us more about Roscommon, what they're like. They're hard to beat in Hyde Park. Armagh were impressive to come back the last day, and they'll never say die, and they will have a lot of work done as well. So hard game to call. You could even wouldn't rule out a draw in that match as well. But you know, I'll be able to see Armagh. I'm really looking forward to seeing Armagh, maybe, you know, in a big pitch and everything else, to see how they perform and everything else. Roscommon have got players back and everything else. So difficult one to call. Maybe just a wee bit of advantage to Roscommon, the fact that they're playing at home. I think that just might give them a bit of advantage here.
Okay, well, back to Saturday then, Martin, and Derry playing host to Meath at 5 o'clock on Saturday evening. Derry have had a good start, haven't they? They've been impressive in their wins over Louth and Limerick. I think the feeling is, though, that Meath is going to provide an all much more different test for Rory Gallagher's side.
Yeah, it's a big test for them, because when you consider Meath went down and beat Cork in the first game down in Cork, I know they got goals and people are saying they're needing goals to win matches. They've 7 goals and he's gotten their 2 games to date. But I think that looking at them, they're very physically very big. The wall test, the Derry full back line, putting high ball and on top of them and test the Derry goalkeeper Owen Lynch as well. I think they'll put high ball in that area. So I think from Meath's point of view, that you know, they probably didn't expect to get the points in Cork, because Cork came up and hammered Kildare in the next game. I'd say they were expecting maybe to beat Clare at home or in that game. But I think Logan, it's a big game, because as I said before, the way Derry look at it, because Meath will probably get to the Leinster final, so that will definitely get them into the Sam Maguire. But Derry will have to finish at least 4 in the top 4 if they don't get to the Ulster final. And there's no foregone conclusion of getting those to final. They play Fermanagh in the first round, and then they meet Tyrone or Monaghan in the semi-final. So look, they're going to have to try to make sure maybe to get promotion, but at least to be up there, you know, in the top four, and maybe to make the Samogar. So this is a big game again. The fact that it's attached to the championship makes it even bigger for both teams, but particularly for Derry. It's a home game. They're playing it in Owen Beg. It's a home match for them. I expect Derry to not concede the goals, and looking at the scores that need to get to date, got to date, I think they need goals to win the game, Jeremy. So I think Derry will win it, by 4 or 5 points. But I think they're going to need to get goals themselves. They're not scoring maybe enough goals from their own point of view. But I do expect them to, Derry, especially at home, to get over the line against Meath.
Yeah, and it is all new to us, isn't it, Martin, this link between the league and championship this year and the importance of finishing high in your respective division. As it stands early in the season, Derry, Dublin, Meath, the only three sides with 100% records so far in the league. Cork then lie fourth on score average. The feeling might be that those are probably the strongest four sides in Division 2.
Yeah, and suppose the disappointing team is Kildare, that you'd expect it to be up there battling with them and everything else. And, you know, Louth put it up the last day to Derry and everything else. I think the best way to sum up the way the championship's going to work is the 8 provincial finalists. The winners will be seeded 1. I think the losers or runners-up will be seeded number 2. Then you'll have the next 4 highest team in the leagues. That's in Division 1. Probably then 4 teams will all come out of Division 1. They're the next 4, and that makes it 12. Then in comes Westmeath, come in for one in the Talcum Cup as the 13th team. So you have 3 teams left. And you must remember either Sligo, Leitrim, London or New York will be in the Connacht final, Dermot. So that they'll be one of the teams in it. So that's the way it works. The 8 provincial finalists will be seeded, the winner seeded 1 and 2, and then you have the next 4 highest team in the league. Then Westmeath join them as the Talcum Cup winners, and then you have 3 places left that will come out of probably Division 2 and a certain whatever, how far down it goes in Division 2. It depends on what teams get from Division 1 to the provincial final. So that's the way it works. So there's going to be big teams losing out. It looks like, say, Cavan and Down could get promotion from Division 3, but unless Cavan or Down get to the final, they won't be playing in the Sam Maguire.
Yeah.
And they'll be playing for the Talcum Cup. That's how tough it is.
Yeah, and Down, we're keeping an eye on how they're going. They've won 2 out of 2 so far in Division 3. This weekend, they travel to play Fermanagh.
Yeah, it's a big game and it's an Edderney, you know, it's not from the Hill of Skilling, so you'd have to say that's a wee bit of advantage for Manor. For Manor have a good record against Down, their team, they don't mind play. Now, Down have a lot of work put in. I hear they have 9 of the Kilcoo boys, and maybe for the first time in a while, there've been 9 of the Kilcoo lads in with Down, so building up a strong squad. Barry Hagan picked up a cruciate ligament injury, that's him out for the season, you know, disappointing him. He's one of their better players last year and this year so far, but picked it up against Antrim in the last league game. Now, Down are going well. A lot of maybe even people tipping them that they'll get to us the final. So, yeah, we go up there in the first round of the championship to Newry. So it's not going to be an easy place to go because they're definitely going, you know, they're going well. They're going really well and everything else Down. So a lot of players, we always know how good Down are. And definitely Conor Lafferty has got a big, big kick out of them. And they, you know, they're responding to him and everything else. So big game for them again. They'll want to get promotion. They'll want to get up to Division 2. That'll be their, you know, the first thing he would have what he wants to achieve. And then after that, trying to get to an Ulster final.
Okay. Martin, before I let you go, the situation in Donegal, a few controversies in recent weeks, and perhaps none more so than the ongoing situation with the underage academy. Any thoughts on it? Hopefully something that can be sorted before too long.
Yeah, you would hope that it can be sorted, you know. It was a disappointing thing to us, and I've always said this, where, you know, national media has it and everything else. If anything goes on in Dublin or Kerry, we don't seem to ever hit the national media and everything else. But anyway, it happens in Donegal and the way it is. So I just think it's disappointing, I think, the whole thing. And I think it's important to get it sorted out. I've been talking to a lot of different people, maybe people even involved in the academy and everything else. You know, there were 40 coaches in there, volunteer coaches, you know, doing it up their time and everything else, the 40 of them. And the fact, very important. And just heard it was a very professional setup under Carol Lacey and everything else. So hopefully they can get it sorted out. It's important to get it sorted out because when we look at how strong, you know, schools are in other counties that we're competing with, particularly in Ulster, we're going to need an academy and we're going to need a very strong academy. It seems that, you know, I mean, it's only starting out, really. It's only in 2 years. It's only up and running 2 years. Like, everybody very impressed with it, the professionalism of it and everything else of it, you know, under the sure stuff of Carroll and everything else, and the amount of work that he was putting in himself into it. I think the amount of hours was unreal. that he's putting into to himself and to his time and everything else. And I think the big thing that they were working on was that, you know, that when these lads became senior footballers, that, you know, they had their strength and conditioning done, they had, you know, the right physios and everything else. So it wasn't going to cost as much money, you know, when they went into a senior setup and everything else, was starting their strength and conditioning, picking up injuries and everything else. And this was going to end up saving a lot of money for the county and everything else. And I think they modelled it a bit on the Limerick model, and we see what's happened in Limerick. We're not saying that would have happened in Donegal. But I think, Jeremy, the most important thing is to sort it out, and everybody, you know, whoever, sit down and round a table and sort it out. And it's important that we get the academy back and going. It's, I think it's going to be very, very important to the county. Talking to parents, talking to players and everything else, you know, how they were pressed with the clubs and everything else. So, yeah, very important to, from our own point of view, from a GA point of view in this county, to sort it out quickly.
Okay, Martin, thanks as always. Martin McHugh, our GA correspondent, joining us on The Score tonight. By the way, busy weekend of Gaelic games. We can't forget the ladies as well. Donegal playing Waterford in an important game on Sunday at Ronald Park in Letterkenny. That's in Division 1. Donegal in real need of a victory in that one. And the under-20s are in action against Sligo this weekend. That's on Saturday at 1 o'clock at Sean McCool Park in Ballybofey. That's about it for this evening. It's been another busy programme. My thanks to our guests this evening, Anthony, Gavin, Kevin and Martin McHugh, who you've just heard. Thanks to you for listening and to Joe for his assistance on the programme as well. Our next sport here on Highland is tomorrow morning after the 8:30 news. From myself, Jeremy Doherty, have a very good evening.